Unpolished Little Gems, Episode 5, Trust. Mary has an unexpected encounter with a cheese merchant at the Preston Country Show. A Sticky Situation was written and produced by Tasman Pinder and performed by Cherie Kane.
When I was 17, Mother entered her rose hip and damson compote into the Preston Country Show. I waited with bated breath as the winners of the jams and preserves category were announced. Third place went to Peggy Foster for her spiced marmalade. In second place, Charlotte Tipperton's blueberry surprise. And in first place, how could they? A travesty, a miscarriage of justice. Mrs. Pritchard's gooseberry jam snatched the final blue rosette from my mother's grasp. She was never the same after that. A dark cloud hung over the tailor's household as we walked home through the village that evening, and not even Jeb Jones's magnificent prize-winning marrow could distract her from her despondent state. She turned to the bottle to drown her sorrows. Mother swore never again to make another jam, and in a gin-soaked fit of rage she tore Granny's recipe book from cover to cover, scattering the pages into the flames of the living room fire. I managed to salvage only one piece of paper from the burning embers, a recipe for Mother's strawberry and elderflower, the only surviving remnant of the tailor's jam-making dynasty. In the months to come, she would experiment with marmalade and pickles, but without much success, and always in a listless, haphazard, half-hearted manner. It was as if her whole heart and soul had been poured into the rose hip and damson compote, and the judge's decision had destroyed her entire raison d'etre. By the following summer, the doctors at the hospital remarked that the only thing Mother was now capable of pickling was her liver. That day struck in my mind for another reason. I'd had a happy, carefree girlhood, at least for the most part. And it was on the day of the country show that I was to have my first taste of romance. Love came in the guise of a French cheese merchant passing through the village on his way to a local market. And that day, Pierre and I bonded over a shared love of Proust and his delicious camembert samples. He regaled me long into the afternoon with tales of his experiences selling impressionist oil paintings on the streets of Montmartre, and I responded by sharing with him the special fruit preserves Mother had locked away in the cellar. We decided to succumb to our darkest erotic fantasies in the underground hideaway. It was only after Pierre and I were in a feverish state of undress, sticky with a combination of amorous desire and Mother's red currant jelly, that we realised our erotic encounter had disturbed a wasp's nest in the cellar door. Unfortunately, after suffering 13 stings to his private parts, Pierre was hospitalised. It then emerged Pierre was actually Derek from Bradford, and that he'd had a wife and two children. I vowed never again to fall for the deceptive, superficial charms of men who work in the dairy industry.
James is dating a really, really nice guy. Nice Guy was performed by Siftine Benamar and written and produced by Tracy Haywood.
When I was at university, I was dating this nice guy. I knew he was a nice guy because he used to tell me all the time. That's how you can tell. Anyway, He had invited me over to his room one evening, out of the blue. I was pleased because I hadn't heard from him that much in the last couple of weeks, and I was beginning to wonder if Nice Guy was losing interest in me. I wasn't worrying too much, though, because I knew Nice Guy had loads of hobbies and interests. I knew this because he told me about them. All the time. Anyway, I was so relieved because Nice Guy had invited me over, and we had had the most amazing time. He had told me about his course, and about the films he had watched, and the causes he was into. He was a nice guy, you see, so he was into loads of causes. Loads. Anyway, after he told me about these things, then we made love. And afterwards, I lay with him in his bed, the wind and the rain battering against the window. We were listening to Otis Redding, a singer that Nice Guy had introduced me to a few weeks ago, who I just loved as well. I was just drifting off to sleep as he announced, I need to go to sleep now. Which I thought was an odd thing to announce, given the situation we were in. In bed. So I go, okay. And he sighs and says, yeah, so I need to go to sleep now, and I really can't sleep if there's someone else in my bed, and I'm a really restless sleeper. So I was wondering if you could, He seems to want me to finish the sentence for him, which I don't want to do, but it's hanging in the air. So I offer, go? And he replies, well, yes, go. It's a strange situation. I'm trying to be low maintenance. He's made it very clear he likes low maintenance. He can't stand the hassle. So I just calmly state the facts. It's 3 a.m. and it's pouring with rain. And then it gets awkward. He sighs uncomfortably and tenses and replies, yeah, it's just I need my sleep, and I really struggle to get to sleep when someone else is in the bed, so... yeah. He's being apologetic about it. Like, it's not really his fault. Like a waiter who can't take an off-menu request because the chef won't allow it, but we both know it's his choice. Well, what can I say? It's his room, and he wants me to leave. And I want to be amenable, so I say, no, yeah, sure, it's fine, just give me a minute. It's so cozy in here and cold out there. We lay uncomfortably for 30 seconds, and I feel like I'm causing the discomfort by not being cool enough to be all chill with this. Then he interrupts the silence by saying, yeah, I've got to go to sleep. Now. I've got lessons and filming tomorrow, so... yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just a fact. He doesn't have a choice in the matter, and I don't want to demand, so I find myself saying, sure. And I get up out of bed. I try to make him feel sorry for me. Without asking to stay, I can't do that. So I move really slowly as I put my clothes back on. Clothes recently discarded in the throes of passion, when he kissed me and looked me in the eyes and made me feel incredibly special. I do a dramatic shiver to show how cold it is. I look over at him and he has tucked his quilt over his shoulder with an overdramatic snug pose. It seems we both favor the dramatics. Another thing we have in common. I spend time picking up my belongings and putting them back into my bag, just hoping he will invite me back to bed and I won't need to go outside into the night. But he is unrelenting. I had a lovely time tonight, I offer, still trying to be cool and low maintenance, happy for whatever comes my way. I don't have needs, that would be needy. Me too, good night, he says. And I lean in for a kiss and put everything into it, hoping he will want me to stay. But no. He leans back from the kiss and lies back down in bed. He is comfortable and he is fine and I am fine. I leave his room and walk down the corridor and open the front door. The wind whips rain straight into my warm face. It cools me instantly, and I desperately want to return to his bed, but what can I do? So, I walk on. I step into the darkness, and the wind seems to drench my body with cold water. But not cold. Freezing. Did I mention it was February in Wales? It's 2 degrees. I'm wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and a cheap coat. My clothes quickly absorb the rain, and it soaks through my skin. It is dark, I am cold, a little drunk, a little hungover, and a little scared as the aged trees blow in the howling wind. Something in my body screams, "This is wrong, this is wrong!" My long jeans hang in the cold puddles of water and soak it up in every step. Just a few short minutes later, I reach my accommodation. Enter in the passcode and walk inside. It's warm, much warmer than me, and my body calls out again, "This is wrong!" I reach my flat, everyone is in bed. I am pleased, I don't know how I would explain this to a friend. I think at the time, that's a sign, isn't it? I enter my bedroom and search for warmth. There is an old towel on my radiator, which has a lingering warmth to it. I strip off and wrap myself in a towel and think, this is wrong. I shouldn't feel like this in the right relationship. I find my pajama bottoms and a clean t-shirt in my chest of drawers and put them on and begin to warm. I go to the toilet. I decide I don't want to brush my teeth. I don't want to face myself in the teeny tiny sink mirror. I crawl into bed, still shivering, feeling awful. And I know I shouldn't feel like this. But what does that mean? That I shouldn't be with him? That I should break up with him? But then I remember the morning after the first night 2 months ago, when he took me to the canteen for breakfast. We split the cost of breakfast. And he told me about his plans after university, and we bonded over films and music. We both saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers live last year, and we knew a lot about funk music. We broke into a chorus of everyday people and laughed when we noticed people were staring. I felt a strong connection with him. Like, this thing in me that made me feel like I was odd actually meant I was special. And as I shivered in bed and ignored my aching stomach, I just thought, I want to feel that way again. But eventually I realized that's what gives the nice guys their power. Making you feel terrible and making you feel wonderful. Then making you feel wonderful and making you terrible until you have no idea what to do other than try and make them be wonderful to you again. How to be nice enough and attentive enough, how to be flexible enough and cool and chilled out until you are asking for absolutely nothing from them. And maybe then we'll treat you wonderfully again. You learn they want you to be less and you adapt until you're not even you anymore. You're just figuring out what they want you to be. And the funny thing is, they don't even want that. But if you can tell yourself all on your own that what makes you odd is what makes you special, and stop thinking that it was his presence created that. And let's be honest, he never did. He just happened to be nearby while you were being special. Then you can get rid of your nice guy and just be all the things that make you special. And then you don't have to rely on being low maintenance or cool or chilled out or low-key. You can just be you. Wonderful, vulnerable, you.